What's up, everybody? Joined as always, Quentin Mills back in the game. Nick Hathcote, Toddy Smith, fresh out of class. What's up, fellas?
I might be doing breaking news.
Uh-oh.
College basketball. Virginia basketball head coach is retiring.
Yeah, oh, I just saw that.
Wow. Really?
Wow. Yeah, like 2 minutes ago.
The timing's really weird.
Wow. Yeah, what better way to start off a loaded week eight than some college basketball news?
That's pretty big.
That's yeah. a little surprising. Like Nick said, that's a weird timing.
I think it's just the NIL. I think he doesn't want to be a part of it.
I won't miss those 45-point games.
Oh, yeah.
For Virginia. Yeah. It's just really a tough watch.
Lining in Virginia.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Week 8, like I said, loaded preview, slate, card, whatever you want to call it. But we had to get to it a little sooner because we're just so excited to talk about it. And what better way to start it than a little Friday Night Lights in Provo, Utah, is number 13 BYU. 6-0 record, 6-0 against the spread, taking on Mike Gundy. Oklahoma State coming off a bye, which they needed it. 0-3 against the spread in their last three leading up into that bye. My gut says BYU rolls in this game. Do you think Oklahoma State fixed anything over the weekend? Are they going to finally get Ollie Gordon involved in this offense, or do you think BYU just continues to roll?
BYU defends the run really well, so I don't think Ollie Gordon's going to really get involved even with the bye. And then it's you know, when the lights are on in Provo, it's a different world. It's that after dark style venue. And I think this is a week. I know it's a Friday game, but I don't think Oklahoma State as a dog has any chance on the road here. I think BYU wins by 14 plus.
Nick?
Kind of like I said on our recap show on Monday, when we kind of look forward to this one a bit, I'm just excited to see BYU actually play a full game for the first time this year. Like I said, I saw him play for like the first half against Kansas State and then kind of dropped it because that one was over. But yeah, like you said, this Provo at night is a kind of a different animal. Like it's just one of those that's sneaky, sneaky tough places to play. I don't have a play on this. Apparently there's supposed to be some pretty bad weather when it comes to, at least it's supposed to be rainy. So that kind of changes a lot. And I don't know if BYU is in any interest to really blow out Oklahoma State. Gundy probably coming into the game with a concussion from that cow can make a couple of wild decisions. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll play anything on this, but like I said, just excited to watch it.
Friday night, the dogs bark, but I don't know if this is the game that the dog's going to bark. Yeah, you know, they haven't been able to run the ball all year, so I don't know if they're going to be able to run for, tomorrow night. And I was going to say what Nick just said, too. Maybe they needed one more week so he could relax his brain a little bit and headbutted by that cow. But, yeah, you know, BYU, tough place to play. Quarterback's really good. I've watched him a couple times. But, yeah, like we said on the recap show on Monday, I'm intrigued to see, watch maybe a full game here at BYU. But it's a tough place to play. I kind of agree with Nick. I don't know if they blow him out, but I do not think this is the dog that's going to bark on a Friday night.
All right, moving over to some ACC action. Number 6 Miami takes on Louisville in a nooner here in Kentucky. And I think Louisville, I kind of downgraded them for the last couple weekends. I thought SMU was definitely the play. SMU ended up winning that one outright. Louisville got off to a hot start, but have kind of cooled down here. But interestingly enough, they won the 2023 matchup 38-31 at Miami. But Miami's been skating by. They just got a 1-point win over Cal. They got a 4-point win the weekend before versus Virginia Tech with that Hail Mary. This is the spot where I feel like Cristobal could get the Hurricanes upset if they're not careful here. That line being around +5 is kind of enticing. I'd like it a little bit more at a touchdown, but wouldn't we all? Q, you make anything in this one?
I like Louisville in a teaser. From what I've been told, this is an interesting spot for Miami. They held a players-only meeting after talking to somebody and pretty much said, hey, we've had 2 sloppy games. We're kind of getting back to our Miami ways of just shooting ourselves in the foot. They need to clean it up. And so this will be a big test for Cristobal and the players itself. Are we resulting in you know, the continuation of Miami football the past decade, or are they able to clean the mistakes up? That's a tough place to play too. Louisville, I believe, beat them last year in Miami. Now they're, you know, Tyler Shough's great quarterback. Louisville recruits that area well. They play with speed, which is Miami, is identity. So I think Louisville can hang in this game.
Yeah, this is one of my actual best bets of the weekend. I took Miami team total over 31.5. I could see this being a shootout. I thought about playing just the overall like game total as well. But that makes me rely on Louisville, who crushed me against SMU, as Matt mentioned a couple weeks ago. So kind of trying to stay off of them. I got at 31.5. The lowest point total that Miami has had all year has been 30, I believe it was 35. 38, it looks like. So 38. So I think this number is wrong. I mean, Louisville, their defense has been okay, but they've been good against the run. As you can see here on our website, it shows they're outside of the top 100 in pass defense. They are good at, like, their defensive line is good at getting pressure, but also that's what Cam Ward kind of feasts off of sometimes. That's where they get some explosive plays when he rolls out. So I could see this being a shootout. I think Miami wins this. But like I said, I think this 31.5 team total is just too low, no matter how the game script goes.
Yeah, this game's on my board here. You'll see in a couple minutes where it is. But I love the over. I love the over here. If you look at Miami, last two games, 38-34, 39-38. You know, a lot of offense, and I've been saying they want Ward still to maybe go to New York for the Heisman presentation. So I think they're going to gun the ball a lot in this. You know, he does have four INTs in the last three games. Brown, the running back from Louisville, 263 yards rushing the last two games. So they're really pounding the ball and he's doing well. But the defense for Louisville too, 20-34-31. I think this is a high scoring game. I like the over in this.
Yeah, 92% of the handle also on the over with you, Smitty. Number 22, Illinois. And Brett Bielema, my host, number 24, Michigan. And I don't know about you guys. I think this is going to be a really good game. It may be ugly, but most Big Ten games are. I think Michigan gets right here. And they're coming off a bye. Tuttle looks to be like he's going to be the quarterback to lead the way. This is your typical Brett Bielema, high expectations, low spot here. Thought they may have slipped up last week. Had to take a game to overtime against Purdue to win that one. But Q, you doing anything in this one?
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's going to be an ugly, but it's also going to be a good game. I agree. The other Michigan takes it here. Illinois right now is feasting on teams that maybe you're kind of sleeping through them. Obviously, Penn State didn't have, you know, nearly the issues in the second half. But Michigan is just as hungry for this. It's weird. It's kind of like, in my opinion, two dogs going at it. Like, this could be just a backyard dog fight. This isn't a Michigan overlooking an Illinois team that we've seen in years past. So I think Michigan's going to be ready for this game, and I think they get the win.
Nick?
Phillips, there's a difference between a good game and a close game. I think this will be a close game. It will not be a good game. I am so down both these teams. I don't know. It's going to be ugly. You guys have said that, but it's not going to be good. I have no play. I would probably lean Michigan here just because Illinois is kind of rough. Surprisingly, their rush defense is kind of what's kind of let them down. Michigan, I think, will get after them from that standpoint and be able to kind of handle their business and not rely on Tuttle too much through the air. So I do like Michigan here. The total is probably about right. Like, this is probably going to be your typical like 20-17 type of game. Yeah, I will not watch a second of this. I can promise you that.
Nick just does not understand great Big Ten ugly football. How beautiful it is on TV. I can't wait to watch this. This is just going to be smash, pound the ball, beautiful football. Get in the backyard, play with your buddies because it's ugly. Yeah, I like Michigan, and I'm not trying to say that because I'm a Michigan fan here. I did play them earlier in the week. I got it at Moneyline minus 155. Lay a little bit of juice. I think it's gone higher now. I like them coming off a bye. I don't like the head coach. I don't think he's a very good head coach, but I think they're going to run the ball. Tuttle getting a little bit more practice time. You know, he came in that Washington game, and I thought at times looked okay. Had too many turnovers late in that. Illinois is a weird team. Gave up a ton of points to Purdue last week. But Bielema does have good numbers as ATS at home here, as especially as a dog. So I didn't want to take the points, but I do think Michigan will pound the ball. They'll make it ugly. It's beautiful football. They'll get the win.
Yeah, Michigan definitely has the advantage in defense. Rush defense for Illinois ranked 115th in success rate. That's not going to cut it. I agree. I think Michigan runs the ball right down their throat to a victory. This is not even the best SEC matchup of the weekend, yet we've got number 7 Alabama taking on number 11 Tennessee in Knoxville. And what we've seen here lately, Tennessee kind of being exposed a little bit, but Alabama doesn't look that great either, going toe-to-toe with both South Carolina and then Tennessee had Florida just skating by those victories, but they did win. Was this a look-ahead spot? Do you think Alabama proves the ratings to be correct here and gets this win in Knoxville, or do you think we get a repeat of a couple years ago where it's a tight game coming down to a field goal like the line would suggest?
I want no parts of this. I'm going to obviously enjoy watching it. I want to see what Nico comes out. The last couple games, he's missed some wide open throws. Nick, I saw you touching on the recap show. He's not in sync. He's overthrowing wide open touchdowns, not by, you know, a yard. They're 10-yard overthrows, and that's kind of concerning. They're putting a lot of pressure on Samson, a lot of pressure on the line to create those holes. Defense, they kind of got pushed around by Florida a little bit. Florida killed themselves late, you know, with some turnovers, just some bad play calling, and fortunate if, you know, Tennessee was able to stick around. But same thing with Bama. Bama struggled, you know, against weaker opponents. Obviously, this is a good team in Tennessee. How do they respond? I got to imagine both teams had a hard practice for this game. This has playoff implications with both teams having, you know, one loss. It really narrows down the margin. So I don't actually have money on it. If I did, I probably would buy Tennessee up to +3.5. I'd pay that extra hook because I think it's going to be a field goal game either way.
Nick?
Yeah, I like the over here. Now, hear me out. I know Tennessee, it's been kind of struggled the last couple of weeks, but I think they're getting the perfect kind of recipe for success here. The pressure on, like, they were kind of hearing everything the last couple of weeks, like chatter. Now you can just kind of buckle up and play. I think it's Bama. This has basically been your, like, biggest rival. You've been thinking about this since 2022. I do get the Nico issues and with wide open deep balls. But that also tells me there's no scheme issues. There's nothing with kind of what Heupel's calling. And Bama's secondary has been pretty bad all year long. Like, that's where they've gotten toasted. There are going to be some wide open receivers running for Tennessee. Nico just needs to hit them. I trust Heupel to kind of get him off the board, like to kind of get him settled in a little bit better. Because it feels like first half of the games, they've just been running the ball like 25 times and then having to say, oh, Nico, go make some plays for us in the second half. I think they'll try to come out a little bit quicker from that standpoint. At least that's what I've been hearing on my side. And then you look at Bama. I think this is going to be sort of the same game script that they had against Georgia, where it's going to be Jalen Miller is going to run the ball 20 times if need be, 25 times. So I think they will get their points as well. Tennessee's defense is great. They're still, what, top 5 defense in the country probably, but Alabama will figure out how to get theirs. Kalen DeBoer, also, if you look at his big games over the past few years, think about those. It's all shootouts against Oregon, shootouts again in the playoff. He figures out a way to get points on the board in these big games. I don't think either team slows it down here. I think this ends up being a fun type of shootout. So yeah, I took the over here.
Yeah. And to touch on that before you go, Todd, I feel like most of these top 10 matchups we've been getting, and I know Tennessee's 11, whatever, but you kind of expect, and I've been burned by it. I mean, Alabama, Georgia, that was an over game before, I feel like, the end of the first quarter, you knew that was going over. And then last week, Ohio State, Oregon, I was on that under, and that one goes over. I think we have another over here. And what looks like on paper, it's going to be a defensive game, but these two offenses can score points too. Todd, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I did play this earlier in the week. I got Tennessee +2.5. I like the home field. Heupel has good numbers as the coach there with home field. But again, what team's going to show up? I mean, from both of these teams, you know, you have Bama beating Georgia and Then they lost to Vandy. Then they struggled against South Carolina, Tennessee losing to Arkansas, then really struggled against Florida too last week, especially on the offensive side against, I've always said a really bad Florida defense. So, and I have down what Nick said too. I have in my notes here, Tennessee, I think, is going to push the ball down the field. I think there's going to be guys open. The secondary is not the secondary that we're used to for Alabama. I could see it being a very high-scoring game. I think home field's going to be key in this. I think it's a close game. I took the 2.5. I think it's up to 3 or 3.5 now. I wish I would have waited. But I think the home field's going to be key, just like Oregon last week and also LSU last week. I think home field's key.
All right, moving over to Georgia Tech, taking on number 12, Notre Dame. It's kind of been Jekyll and Hyde all season. Nick, I know this is your team. I'm hearing that Haynes King and the line is indicative that Haynes King's probably not going to play. 92% of the handle on the over in this one. That's a pretty big spread for Notre Dame. I kind of like the first half line on them, but we'll get into that in a little bit with the best bets. Q, what are you doing in this one?
I'm staying away with the Haynes King, Notre Dame on the road. I just – Notre Dame's been playing really good football, really focused football. I would hate for them to hear Haynes King's not playing and then kind of slip away and not be able to cover a spread because they just kind of glide into it. So I want no parts of this.
Nick?
I'm not playing it just because, like I said, I hate playing Notre Dame games just because it ends up stressing me, like double stressing me out.
What team shows up?
and they've been great lately. Don't get me wrong. Riley Leonard's been throwing the ball a lot better. Like, I know people haven't had any eyes on it because they haven't played anybody great. But he's been a lot better lately. Yeah, the Haynes King thing is the difference maker, in my opinion. That's why I'm not touching this one way or another. Even if he's announced playing, how healthy is he? This is also a neutral site. They're playing at Mercedes-Benz, so they're not at Georgia Tech either, which kind of – I think the crowd will probably be split 50-50. I expect Notre Dame to get out of this one. It just sucks. Losing Benjamin Morrison now for the year, that means two of their best defenders are now out for the season. He's obviously I hate for the kid. He's supposed to be a top 15 draft pick. So that stinks, and that's kind of more of a looking forward to the future thing. But, yeah, for this weekend, I expect Notre Dame to win. I think this kind of – like Georgia Tech mostly is a running team, and that's what Notre Dame – like people just don't run against Notre Dame really. If you have a passing game, okay, then we'll talk. But, yeah, Georgia Tech I just don't – isn't two-dimensional enough to kind of make them pay for it. Famous last words.
Without Haynes King, I would bump Georgia Tech down in the IPR. I think he's probably at least worth a field goal. Looking at that, +2 for a home field advantage, even though it is a neutral site, you're still at 17 points. I think Notre Dame probably blows them out, but, again, we've kind of seen Georgia Tech be a little pesky, so I'll stay away from the full game. Todd, you have anything in this?
It's a stay away just because of the quarterback. Nick brought it up on Monday about these quarterbacks. They might play, they might not play, and you just don't know. So I think if he's not there, Notre Dame's in really good shape, and they better get ready for Navy.
All right, moving over to Fayetteville, and this is a good one. Once again, we host a top 10 team in Donald W. Reynolds Stadium, where Sam Pittman is 6-1 in Fayetteville night games. That's straight up and ATS. 21-9 as a dog and 7-1 after a bye. This has all the makings of setting up perfectly for Arkansas. If you're a spot better, LSU coming off a big win over Ole Miss at home in overtime. Now you got to go on the road, take on a fiery little Arkansas team that's got a pretty solid defense with Travis Williams at the helm. This isn't just an Arkansas fandom, but I've got to take the Hogs here, despite what Parker's projections say. I think this is a much-needed big win for Sam Pittman that probably secures his job. Q, you doing anything in this one? Crutch, thanks for watching. Woo Pig.
I might be with you. I might be taking a little sprinkle Arkansas on the money line. It's only +2, so – because I'm not getting it over a field goal, you might as well play the money line there. I mean, what is he? He's 5-6-1 now or something like that against ranked opponents at night or night games.
Yeah, 6-0 if you go ranked opponents.
Yeah, 6-0. I mean, LSU coming off a big win at home. I got to feel like vibes are high. Now, you know, even though Arkansas is not ranked, it's a tough place to play. It's a tough game. Arkansas's had this game on their schedule circled. Now it's, you know, you get a chance to beat the number 8 team in the country. You beat Tennessee. And, yeah, this is a game that Pittman needs to win. They've got Petrino, and things are working well. So I hate to do it. I'm probably going to put the jinx on the Hogs, but I think I'm going to jump it on with you.
Well, I took the over 4.5 wins, so that would be nice to be able to cash this by week 8. Just saying. But this was one that I had down that we would win. Obviously didn't have Tennessee, but
I feel like LSU is the most overrated number 8 team we've seen in a while, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think LSU's number 8. They're more talented than Arkansas, but can Petrino kind of figure some things out on offense and out-scheme them? We'll see. My interest, this might be a live betting game for me because I do want to see what Taylen Green looks like. There's been a ton of chatter this week about he's not healthy. He was early in the week, they said he was very questionable and possibly wouldn't be playing. Now it sounds like he is going to play through whatever his injury is. So it might be something like wait a drive and see if they're going to run him at all. If he can't run, that changes this Arkansas offense incredibly. So that's – and then I think they're basically out of what their biggest advantage is. So this is a wait and see for me. I might play something, like I said, might play something live sitting on my couch. But for right now, it's nothing. Don't hate the over either. If I was leaning on a total side, it would probably be the over. Arkansas's defense has played well, but it's mostly been against the rush. Garrett Nussmeier is going to be tossing 40, 45 times a game. So I think both these teams could put up points. So I would lean over if I was going to make a play.
It's no play right now for me, but I would be leaning LSU in this. Same thing in the notes. Green, I want to see what he's doing. I heard the same thing Nick just said. He's banged up. Didn't look like he was going to play. I'm not sure, you know, the backup, I don't know how great. Matt would know a lot more info on that backup. I only saw him play a little bit in the one game. You know, LSU has good numbers. Brian Kelly, 20-5 straight up as a favorite here, and especially on the road. They've been really good under him. Pittman as a dog, not the greatest numbers. I know Matt said good numbers against ranked teams, so you can kind of – they balance kind of each other out. I love the quarterback for LSU. Like Nick said, he's going to sling it all around. I think this could be a higher scoring game. I think Nick made a good point of maybe just sitting back and live betting this to see where the quarterback is. But right now, if I would play it, I would do LSU. I think LSU is going to get the win here.
Sam Pittman's 21-9 as a dog, ATS. I don't know what numbers you got.
I don't know. I read that. Okay. That was from something the other – I got off a site.
Cross it out.
I apologize. That's what I got as a dog. He is not – I don't know.
All right. Moving on to the top
matchup. It doesn't matter. I still like LSU.
Moving on to the top matchup, number 5, Georgia, Kirby Smart, in uncharted territory here, coming in as a dog against number 1 ranked Texas. Coming off a blowout and nothing but a shootout and the Red River rivalry in Dallas. Texas, I think far and away looks like the number 1 team in the country. You can make a case for Oregon after beating Ohio State, but I feel like Texas probably wins this game, but that plus 4.5 for Georgia, I may not be able to stay away from it. I'll be in Las Vegas this weekend, so Sarah's probably going to get my money on that with the Bulldogs plus the points. I just feel like Georgia has yet to play their best game, and what better way to do it than, you know, they started this season as preseason ranked to win it all, the favorite or the shortest shot. So I still think that's in the cards for Georgia. I think they're still a playoff team. Despite the 1-5 ATS record for Kirby Smart, I feel like Carson Beck shows up and they get a close game here, which I also think goes over. Q, what are you doing in this one?
I think Texas minus 4.5 is the play. I think they, similar to last week, I don't think they win by 31 points, you know, versus Georgia, but I think they actually cover the spread, and I think they win by more than 7. Georgia doesn't impress me. I mean, they struggled against Auburn. They've struggled against Mississippi State. Their defense gave up 31 points to Mississippi State. Now, I understand State has a good quarterback, but, hey, so does Texas. Actually, they have 2 good quarterbacks. So, if one goes down, it's like nothing ever happened. Texas just plays right now. They just look so focused. It doesn't matter who's, you know, running the point, whether it's Arch or Quinn. They just seem locked in. I mean, they went into a, you know, a tough Michigan team or stadium. Now, I know Michigan's a little down, handled business. You know, Red River Ride, shootout, handled business. It just seems like anybody they play, they just stomp. And it's almost like they feel like they should have won a national title last year. And this is like, hey, we're out to prove that we're the best team in the country. It doesn't matter who's in our way. So I think Texas actually beats Georgia by more than a touchdown.
Nick?
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I am on the over in this one too. Like, listen, we've said Texas defense is good, but who's the best quarterback they faced? Like, honestly, General Booty, like not joking, from Louisiana Monroe might be the actual most talented quarterback that they have faced this year. So,
and one of the best names in college now.
Oh, if not yeah. the best. Yes, absolutely. So on like their secondary is their question mark. And Georgia has only been able to move the ball through the air. Carson Beck, as many jokes as we kind of got during the beginning of the year, how he was struggling, has completely turned things around and has been on a tear the last few weeks. They just haven't been able to run the ball. This isn't your typical Georgia defense either, where they – like, this isn't like the guys where you just see there's nine NFL guys on the play. Like, there's just not this year. I don't know what the deal is, but they're all – I know they're very young, and probably we look at this Georgia defense next year and we're going to think, oh, crap, this is what we're used to. Haven't made a play on the side. Like I said, I played the total. I lean Texas winning, but you realize Georgia has won 50 straight games against schools not named Alabama. That part to me, that's like just crazy. So that's kind of tough for me to get there here. Yes, Texas seems like the new Alabama one, and you look at the athletes and everything, but I'd like to have a play on this side. I would take Texas, but definitely not where it's at now. If you like Georgia, I mean, there's +5 some places now. So I don't hate either side. I can hear things about both, but I'm on the over. I just think we end up in the pseudo shootout here, no matter who wins.
Yeah, you know, I'm on this. I love Georgia in this because I kind of have in this the same thing. They haven't been like a dog. It's something like 48, 49 games or something. It's crazy what it is. And I kind of had in my notes what Nick just said there. Like, who's Texas again? You got to just play who's on your schedule. But they beat Michigan. Okay, well, it's not a very good Michigan team. It's an average Michigan team, maybe slightly below. And Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma's not that good. They don't have a very good offense. So I had the same thing. I don't know who they played yet. This is going to be their first big game. And I agree with what Q said, too, about the defense. I mean, this is not a typical Georgia defense. It goes back to what I said about Alabama. It's not a great Alabama defense, giving up some points this year. I think the quarterback, Beck's been really slinging the ball for a lot of yards. The big thing is just don't turn the ball over. I mean, what defense can create turnovers is going to be key in this. But if you're going to give me some points in this, I'm taking Georgia in this.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, you look at Texas, 54th ranked strength of schedule compared to Georgia's 11th. Georgia's been on the big stage now. They almost come back against Alabama. They've been in a hostile environment. Texas, you really can't say the same for them. So I hope that Kirby has learned from that Alabama game and can get it figured out. Quick message from Homefield Apparel, then we'll roll into our best bets. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Homefield Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Homefield has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these six games.
All right, Q, let it rip.
Oklahoma money line, good bounce back spot. You just got throttled on national television to your biggest rival. You get to play at home. You get South Carolina, who's coming off back-to-back losses. They've had two crushing losses this season against LSU and Alabama. This team's just had so much bad luck. I just can't see them going to Norman and getting a win, even as bad as Oklahoma's offense has been. I think Oklahoma's defense is good enough to keep them in the game and win a close one. Rutgers, Texas Tech money line parlay. Rutgers just, man, I missed the boat there last week. Just got throttled by Wisconsin. I think they bounced back in a big spot. And then Texas Tech is hosting Baylor. Baylor's struggling. Dave Aranda's gone. Texas Tech's really decent against the run. Baylor can really only run the ball. So I think it's a perfect money line parlay there. And then Iowa State, Matt Grissom's hero, KJ Jefferson, is benched. Didn't take the first team reps. Has to travel to Ames. They've dropped three in a row. I got to think the team's pretty much kind of at this point of the season starting to get to that point where I don't want to say they quit, but they're just kind of going through the motions now. Things aren't looking good. Iowa State needs this win to stay atop of the Big 12. I think they slaughter the Knights in Ames.
Nick?
Mine can be quick. I mean, we've gone, luckily, gone all three of mine, over three of mine. Bama, Tennessee, over. Georgia, Texas, over. And my favorite one, like I said, Miami team total over. I think even if Louisville keeps us close, it'll be because Louisville's scoring as well. I don't think Louisville can stop him. So I think Miami team total is my favorite play here. I will say my favorite one would have been Cincy minus 2.5, but that's gone crazy since the quarterback news. But still, probably that's another one that I don't know if I like it at 7 where it's at now, but I still do think Cincinnati beats Arizona State for a little extra fourth pick right there.
All right, Smitty.
Yeah, I do want to just say really quick with the Cincy play. That's why you got to watch the recap show. Nick brought that up Monday. I looked at it. I had it down in my notebook. I liked the play. I jumped on it, money line at like minus 140. And now you got all the news. So it's good to listen to smart people and jump in quick and hopefully good things happen. So hopefully they can get the win. They don't blow it on Saturday. All right. So Georgia, I just talked about. Let's go to the Baylor Texas Tech game. Under 55.5, good 18 to 20 mile per hour winds in this. Wind gusts could be up to 35 in the Lubbock, Texas. So maybe I'll Ryan Hyatt, just make sure you don't get blown away down there. Okay, so let's just run the ball, keep that game low scoring. It's trickled down a little bit. I think it opened at 57, but I like it at 55.5. So let's get that a little slower pace game. And then the Miami Louisville game. I know Nick's on Miami scoring a lot. That'd be great. Just throw some points on to Louisville. Let's get over 61 as the best bet. Let's go for three in a row with the best bets with those overs. That's why I'm staying with that trend.
Crutch said, just ordered my dad's Christmas present on home field. Oh man,
on, Crutch.
Missed it. All right, for my best bets, Arkansas plus 3. I like getting the field goal, minus 137 on DraftKings. Georgia, Texas, hope this one doesn't come back to bite me. Overs in big games have been kind of cashing like crazy, I feel like. So Georgia, Texas, over 55.5. Got the same number that Nick did. And then Notre Dame, minus 6.5 for the first half. Especially with Haynes King being out, I think Notre Dame's going to be able to move the ball. They may get a little relaxed in the end, but our power ratings make it 17 for the game without Haynes King. So I like Notre Dame to get it done here. You guys have anything else? So we close it out. Thank you. Quick show. I've got to get to my son's football game an hour and a half away. Don't really know why they did that. They hate us. But like they said earlier, join the recap show on Monday or Tuesday if you have not yet. That's where we get a little preview of the upcoming games and try to give you an edge there. But for Todd, Nick, and Q, we will see you next week. Enjoy your weekend and cash some tickets.